As a Triple M listener, we're sure you're familiar with a Sunday session.
Froffies!
Now, get ready for a Sunday session with a difference. Ow! It's the Rush Hour's Sunday session. The best of JB and Billy on Triple M.
Ah, it's good to be on the radio, Fat.
What are you talking about, Jim? We've been on radio all year.
That's what I said. It's good to be on radio.
But spot on, Jimmy. Footy mania is taking over. So if you're missing us, especially me, you can still get us by downloading the Triple M app. We've got new shows, Jim, every day.
Yes, and this is the very best of those shows, including Geelong's Tom Stewart, and we have an idiot file full of you stuffing up.
Plus, the hump day quiz is back, my friend, and I've got a very good joke.
Doubt it. But next, Peter Siddle, one of the greatest Victorian cricketers ever, and I say was, because he's buggered off to Tassie.
Yes.
Next, we chat to Sids and find out what he's up to and why he's left.
Our next guest took a hat-trick on his birthday. He took 221 test wickets for Australia and 397 shield wickets for Victoria.
Almost completely powered by bananas.
You'll just end up a set of teeth. There'll be no body around him.
Yeah. And while we forgave him for once bowling with a beanie on in England, he's now given us the lemonade and sauce and joined Tasmania.
What?
To find out what gives, please welcome Peter Siddle.
And what does give as we welcome you, Sid? You've buggered off from Victoria where you're a multiple trophy winner and headed down to the map.
Yeah, it's worked out all right at the minute. I'm stuck in quarantine for another 5 days.
So what have you done there, mate? You've signed a 2-year contract and you're looking at coaching. Is that right?
Oh, the main part of the deal is playing, but right. It's with the progression into developing my coaching and seeing if that's is something that I want to move into at the end of my career, which. You know, I'm only getting closer to, that's for sure.
Mm. Before you get on to everything else you're doing, who are you going to be partnering up with down there in Tassie? Will you be taking the new ball? And if so, with whom? And who else have they got helping you out?
They've got some good ones.
Yeah, they have. No, I don't reckon I'll take the new ball. I'm happy to bowl whenever. I think Jackson Bird will probably take the new ball with one of the young guys, Gabe Bell, or could be anyone.
Who's the other bloke?
The wind down the other end. Nathan Ellis. Riley Meredith.
He's quite sharp, isn't he?
He's very sharp. So I'm glad I don't have to play against him now, and I can play alongside him, which is a lot better. Plenty of young bowlers.
Have you spoken to your little mate Punter? Of course, because you do realise once you start playing for Tassie, it'll take you about 5 games to play more than he did in his whole life.
Yeah, I know. It's not going to take me much to pass him, I don't think. But yeah, I have spoken to him. I think he was a little bit excited of me coming down here and playing for his old team. But it's exciting. I've got obviously Payne and Wadey, who I've played a lot of cricket with and against over the years. Both good mates. To be joining them and playing alongside those two, it's going to be an exciting time.
Joined by one of our all-time favourites, Peter Siddle.
Good shot from Peter Siddle. That'll be 4.
Jeez.
That's beautifully taken. So Peter Siddle gone for a fine 44.
Fine 44.
Oh, in the air. Yep, gone. Well, Steve Smith. At second slip, and Fortress Edgbaston has been breached by the Australians.
Ah, there it is indeed. 1 year ago to the day, Sids.
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. I knew it was thereabouts. So, it wasn't a bad day, that one.
Yeah, well, let's go through it. Of course, Australia won by 251 runs. It was the first test of the Ashes series. And we're in a bit of trouble, I reckon, when you walked out to join Steve Smith. I think we were 8 for 122. And what happened, Sids?
I think, Smitty got the season class batting from a tail end that day, which was quite impressive. But, I think... JB would know this, that those days, obviously he batted up the order, but when you walk out as a tail end and you're 8 for 120, there is no expectation whatsoever. Like, it doesn't matter. If you make it dark, it doesn't matter because the batsmen haven't made any runs either. So you're very relaxed and, it's pretty easy when you're batting with the best player in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah. Let me tell you this, Bill. Yep. Nothing more annoying than you missing out as a top-order player and then a tail-ender making a 60 or a 70. Because until you get the chance to bat again, all you do is get these half-wits walking past you going, do you like that one I just took off my pants? You know, what about that cover drive? And you just
wasn't
go, mate,
hard out there.
Shut up. But it was amazing. I'll tell you where you were even more amazing in that series for me, Sids. And that is with Jofra Archer at Lords when he was winding it right up and we saw what happened to Steve Smith. I think you had to walk out and face the next ball.
That's right.
And you got in line, which I admired enormously. So did Pat Cummins, but that must have been pretty daunting.
Yeah, I'm usually not the one to be actually too worried about going out and batting. I'm not a great batsman, but I've always backed, you know, getting out there, getting behind the ball, doing the right thing. But yeah, when a bloke's bowling 150 and you're the next in and the best batsman in the world, Steve Smith, gets pretty much KO'd. I don't think I've ever been so nervous in my life, even in my first game going out to bat. So it was pretty scary actually walking past.
Tell us what the noise. I mean, a full house at Lord's and it was just electric what was going on. Tell us what the feeling was like as you walked out into the middle.
It was actually like as for us, obviously it was disappointing, you know, and like a bit worrying seeing Smitty. But yeah, the crowd, they were buzzing. Like Lords is usually a pretty quiet place. Not a lot goes on. They clap the boundaries, clap the wickets, that's it. But that day they were buzzing. The Jofra Archer, new into the team, was going nuts and they got behind him. So it was quite scary, but I don't know what he was thinking. A tail ender coming out after that, I would have been straight at my head.
Yep.
And for some reason, he pitched up a pretty much a good length ball and there was no fielders in front of the wicket pretty much.
Ooh.
So I just quickly just nudged the ball and I took off. It was probably a daring run. You probably wouldn't normally take it, but I was always running. And I just took off down the other end, got in, and I thought, Paddy, you can face the rest of them. So, it was very scary.
Good luck down there, mate. And enjoy your Kangas too when they eventually get down to Hobart to play some footy. But it's a different look for you this upcoming summer, but we can't wait to see how it goes.
Yeah, cheers, boys. Looking forward to it and be in touch soon.
Good on you, Sid.
All right, time to do this.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. Here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be with you on this Irish Day today. And we have the Hump Day Quiz, Jimmy boy.
Yeah, we do. And, of course, some people who couldn't. We're lots of applicants online. We're arriving at two contestants.
We are.
And these two young men are ready to go. We've got Sammy on the line from St Kilda, who's a Cats fan. Oh, Sammy.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. Well, how come you got to join us here? What was your little quote?
Well, I said if I get on the quiz and I win, I am going to buy a racehorse and call it Billy No Flag.
Here we are. I like that, because four grand finals and didn't win any of them. All right. Well, who else have we got playing, Bill?
We got Loki from Fern Tree Gully. Hey, Loki.
Hey, Fat. How are we?
Good.
It's Loki, I presume.
No.
Yeah, correct.
Well, Lockie would be L-O-C-K-Y.
No, you're telling Lockie how his name is spelled.
That's my name.
What's your real name?
Lachlan.
Oh, I'd go with Lockie too. Lachlan. Righto.
I've got the score here. Yep. Sam, scream your name out. Lockie, scream your name out when you think you know the answer.
Five questions, first one to three wins. You ready to go, boys?
Yep. Yeah, let's go.
Yep. Name the two brothers who were dropped from the team this round.
What? Jesus.
Name what the two brothers who were dropped from...
Lockie.
Yes, Lockie.
Yes, Lockie.
We'll go to the Crouch Boys at Adelaide.
No.
No.
Lockie.
What,
Sam,
you just
I'll
decided
give...
to leave the team out, did you?
Well, it hasn't got it, actually, on the questionnaire. Name the two brothers who were both omitted from the team this round, the team being Melbourne. Jill would have been good. Sam, Cat supporter?
From Melbourne. Oh,
yeah.
God, who knows?
They've got a farm.
No idea. All I know from Melbourne is Brayshaw.
Oh, no.
Hey, Bill, that is the most disgracefully asked question of all time. What chance did Locke... Hey, Locke.
Yeah, mate.
If he'd said Melbourne, would you have got the McDonald boys?
Yes.
Well, you didn't. Mate.
Hurried up, Fat. No one likes this quiz.
Right. Golden Lockie.
Here's an audio question. You know what that is, Lockie?
I do.
Righto, what happened next?
Here's Boyd Woodcock. Got a kick to it. Is that his first kick? It's a goal!
Damn.
Sammy.
He thought he kicked the goal, but there was a score review. And
yes, that'll do. Well done, Sammy.
All right.
Sucked in, Lockie. Oh.
And that was
Boyd.
Hey, Bill,
yeah.
Whatever happens from here on into this quiz, Lockie is getting significant prizes.
No, he's
not.
He's
giving you one of the great drive-bys of all time.
One to Sam, and I don't see any score for Lockie. Yeah.
Righto.
Which Geelong player was sporting a new blonde hairstyle against
Sam?
Harry Taylor.
Yes!
All right. Look, come on, mate. I'm riding you like a bull. Let's go.
I'm trying to find another Geelong question here. Loki, are you still there, Loki?
Yeah, buzzer's not working.
We got another audio question for Sam and Loki, okay?
Right.
Finish this sentence.
There is absolutely no reason or need to drive from Melbourne to Wodonga to have a...
Loki.
To get a Big Mac.
Yes.
Good. Well done. Good.
Nicely done.
That was the police minister, Lisa Neville, saying that.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, it's an interesting, absolutely no reason to drive from Melbourne to Wodonga. Wodonga.
We heard the quote, yeah.
For a Big Mac.
Yeah, that's it.
Number five. Righto. This is... nip and tuck, tuck and
tied
nip.
Tied up, Lock, you need to answer this correctly.
Matty Rao and Noah Anderson were number one and two picks in the 2019 National Draft. Who did Melbourne pick at three? Ooh. I'll give you a clue. Tall ruckman forward with long wavy hair. Mm. Playing his fifth game tonight.
First name, Luke.
What was that?
Luke Jones.
No! Was that Lockie?
Yeah.
Righto. Sam? You've won, Sam, anyway. He's won the question. That was five questions.
We've got another one.
Well, all right, we'll go again. What happens if it's a draw, then we're stuffed.
Then you can think of a question on top of your head.
Where is tonight's North Melbourne Geelong game being played, Sam?
And Lockie.
Oh, Lakey.
The Gabba.
Yes! Now we're in trouble, Jim.
Come on, Fat.
Righto.
He's opening the Herald Sun.
Just talk for a minute, Jim.
No.
How many goals did Revolt and Lynch kick last night for Richmond? Sam?
Seven.
Yes, Sammy boy. Well done. Seven between them. So you are our winner. Did you have some fun, Lokey?
Yeah, that was good. Got more questions than your flag, so feel like a real winner.
Hand pass to Stewart. Stewart for the catch. 52 out. Sums it up. Took responsibility and banged it home. City end.
Ah, yes, indeed. Tommy Stewart, what a star. A chubby little fella from South Barwon down there. Oh, just going about his business. But now Jim has played 74 games for the Cats. All Australian. In 18 and 19. And he's a bloody star. And it was great to see him back in town on Saturday. Thomas, welcome to the Rush Hour.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Going well. How are you, more importantly? Because second game back after that shoulder and, you're back in town.
Yeah, very good. Going well, obviously. Tough conditions against the Dockers in the first game in that slog, but good to have a good showing against West Coast.
Now, tell us about the shoulder, how you fractured your collarbone, because it didn't look like there was much in it, Tommy. You're bumping Tommy McDonald, and then all of a sudden you ran off. What actually happened, mate?
Oh, it was exactly that. It was very, very innocuous and very strange. I've said it a couple of times. I do that 1,000 times a week at training and game day, and I think he just caught me flush, and unfortunately the collarbone just went pop.
I don't reckon the boys would have missed you, Tommy.
Well, what do I nicknamed you?
Oh, Chalky.
Chalky.
Yeah, I've caught that a fair bit. I don't know if that, I hope that doesn't stick, but it might after that incident.
And the back line, how are you all, the misfits? Because they're very tight, as a lot of back lines are, and they are misfits, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We're a bunch of misfits, and we love that title. But, no, we're all going really well. Obviously, missing a couple of weeks, it was awesome to see the boys play really well in that period. But, I mean, having Lockie Henderson come back in has been special, and I think we've got a few boys waiting in the wings that have been training the house down for the non-selected. So, yeah, it's been really pleasing, and we're super excited to keep playing together.
Now, I noticed in Perth that the hairdresser came in. Tommy, I can't let this interview go any further. Now, it didn't surprise me when I saw the Puffits, to quote Bristle of this world, jumping all over it. But Harry Taylor having his hair cut and then coloured is not the Harry Taylor we know.
Yeah, well, I think I don't think it'd surprise you that Harry's a bit of a character. We had a Christmas in July last week, and I think somebody got him a bit of hair dye because obviously there's a bit of salt coming through the hair, and he ran with it and decided to dye the hair blonde, which I thought it actually looked all right. I wasn't opposed to it.
On television, Tommy, it came up a purple brown.
Are you kidding?
No.
There you go. It was a bit of a laugh, and I think he's happy to put himself out there to get the boys up.
No, it was good. I reckon Josh Kennedy was having a laugh because they're both from Geraldton, yes. I reckon, Jim, aren't they? So they're having a good old laugh about it, I reckon.
Hey, Tommy, we ask this of every hubbing person. Who's the biggest pain in the ass you're dealing with in the group at Geelong?
There's a couple. There's a couple that have really got under my skin. Yeah. Jordan Clark.
Everyone says that about him.
I love Clarky. I took a bit of a roll on with Clarky last year. He's a mentor, but he's pretty annoying. And then there's Luke Dalhouse, who just never shuts up. he's when he's around, he's yapping and he's in your ear and he's in your face and he's a bit obnoxious sometimes, but they're great boys. But yeah, they're the two.
How's the lovely M going, mate? She in the hub or back in G Town?
Nah, she's in the hub at the moment. So she's about 7 or 8 k's away, which is quite strange for a lot of the families up here at the moment. She's going well. We're in our 27th week, so she's pregnant. So she's going well, but only 9 days to go, and we'll get to see her again. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Look out. Then he's going to call it Stuart.
Yeah, Stuart.
The boy, Stuart.
Well, I know, Tommy, that it might be a bit weird to be hubbing, and it might feel a bit strange to have to go from Perth to Brisbane, but it could be worse. You could be in Melbourne. We're not allowed to fart after 8 o'clock.
I know, boys. I'm not envious of the situation in Victoria, but obviously sending all my love and thoughts back to everyone back there. It's a tough time, but hopefully you're all getting through okay.
Good luck. Very, very impressed with the way the Cats are rolling. So good luck with it all, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tell you what we need to do, and that's get this dusted off. We can do one pretty much every week, but that would mean Maddie's overworked, and he already has enough to do. So we say to Maddie Haywood, our genius in the booth, just every second week, bring the half hour of idiot file down to something we can use. How long is it today, Bartholomew?
Four minutes, 44.
Don't add any stuff.
4:44.
Brought down out of a good half hour of Bill just getting it wrong when he speaks. Enjoy it.
Today is?
Yes, go on.
Thursday, July 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was going to happen today?
What?
Olympic Games today, before they got postponed.
Oh, my God.
I know they tried to call Bill, and Bill said, nah, I've got things on.
Well, I was already climbed Mount Maradora Armour. Mavericks just come back.
What's he got for us?
You did mention Maverick during the interview.
Maverick's
saying,
happy with what he brings to the table, but he's nowhere near as good looking as his brother.
That's right. Well, Maverick's come back. He's got a blue tick too, by the way, Jim. He must be important. He said the better looking Weller brother. They've got the hub at Disney World, okay?
Right, yes.
So Lou Williams, who plays for the Clippers, very good player, Louis. So he got a special...
Don't say a word.
Disconception? He was granted special permission.
I don't think Bill said a word then either.
He granted special permission, Jim, to leave to attend a funeral,
was it
okay?
Dispensation that's you were trying to say.
Yeah, that's the word, you dick. Why didn't you say that?
Because we want you to say it.
Well, we could throw another $100 voucher somewhere, I reckon.
All right. Who else did you like, Fat?
Oh, well, we've got to send him over to WO. We going all right?
To where?
WA. 14 votes Lachie Neal, 9 votes Max Gawn, 9 votes Ting English, and 9 votes Travis Boak.
English.
Tin man. What has been good at Carlton, mate, is the second tierers. We're not talking about Cripple, we're talking about Settlefield and...
Settlefield.
Well, that's how he likes to be called.
Settlefield.
Yeah. Matt Kennedy, Plowman, Pitten now. Brad missed four.
He did. he was coming from a long way back.
Bo can have a choice.
All right, nice. Now, something humorous, Fat?
Not bad.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
Thanks to our good friends at Grilled. That is all from Anthony Wiem today, Thursday, the 30th of July.
He's even going to the date.
From there,
he's just got one of those brains you can't understand.
But what has he become? A professor or nuclear scientist?
I could not tell you.
Nuclear.
Yeah.
What do you reckon he was going to become?
But what about the young fella that missed all of last year and then we saw him kick a couple of goals? Georgiadis.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
No. Duck?
What?
How good's he?
Yeah, very good, Bill. I don't know where you're going.
Georgiadis.
All right. Who else have we got playing, Bill?
We got Loki from Fern Tree Gully. Hey, Loki.
Hey, Fat. How are we?
Good.
It's Locky, I presume.
No.
Yeah, correct.
Well, Locky would be L-O-C-K-Y.
No, you're telling Locky how his name is spelled.
That's my own name.
Yep.
Yeah, let's go.
Yep. Name the two brothers who were dropped from the team this round.
What?
Jesus.
Arsenal have won the FA Cup, Jim. Did you see that?
No, I did not see
you
that.
Have you seen anything?
No, Bill. I'm in lockdown.
Pierre Aubameyang. he kicked the two goals, Jim.
Aubameyang.
That's him.
Pierre Patrick Aubameyang.
Aubameyang. That's what I said first, if you replay it.
Aubameyang, did you say it?
Dick arm.
Aubameyang. How did you say it?
Aubameyang.
Bumyang.
Yeah, Aubameyang. 12 NBL players from Melbourne United have tested positive.
12?
12. How many's on the list?
Don't know.
About that.
Well, is our man, the point guard, little knackers?
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. What's his name?
Mitch.
Oh!
There is a Mitch who plays for
him. McLaren.
No. What's his name, Fat?
I don't know. I can't remember. I'll come back to it.
What is it? Ponytail?
Ponytail.
Not anymore.
Barracks for North Melbourne.
What's his name?
Comes in all the time.
Well,
we love him.
How can you not know him? Even I know him.
It just slips my mind. A few things slip my mind lately, Jim. I think I'm...
Chris
Mew.
Oh! I've given him his first name. He still doesn't know him. Come on,
Chris
Fat.
Mew.
Where are you at?
Oh, we're just going at the minute, Jim. And now we're on Zoom in remote areas.
Remote areas. You're in your pub. How much worse are you going to be now?
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
A bit to get through with Damo too, of course. Adelaide, are they in danger, Purple, of replicating Fitzroy's lamentable 1964 season where they went all the way through without winning a game?
Yeah, look, I think they are. I mean, they've now gone 10 games into a 17-game season without a win. Strangely enough, that the closest they got to a first win was that very first game, Matthew Nix's first game, way, way back before the COVID-19 shutdown back in round one when they lost to the Sydney Swans at home by only 3 points. And it was quite a competitive game, if you recall. But since then, they've had a narrow loss to Essendon, but every other game has been pretty ordinary for them. And they've still got some bigger clubs still to come. Like, I'm just going through the 10 they've played.
Collingwood next week.
Collingwood's not there. Yeah, Collingwood is yet to come. They've played West Coast, Brisbane,
Bulldogs,
Geelong and Port Adelaide, you know, who are going to be premiership considerations. But yeah, the Bulldogs is another team that they're yet to play. So it's a worry, isn't it? And what as sort of what we touched on the Saturday rub last week, wasn't it? I think it was B2 who raised it. The morale of the teams that are struggling. Now, they're not in a hub existence, Adelaide, but the morale of a team that has got no hope from a finals perspective with still a 7-match run at it. It's a long 7 matches, and you do feel for Matty Nix right now, don't you? You really do.
Well, I'm just having a look at that. 1964 Fitzroy played 18 games, 0-18. Well, in 1963, the year before Damo, they won one game out of 18. Then in 65, they won four. And then in 1966, they won one game out of 18.
Bill, you don't have to tread all over our beautiful Fitzroy fans who are just remembering
Jim,
gloriously.
They won about 3 games in 4 years. Back
having
then.
Gary Pert running around for them and Paul Roos and Lynchy. And you don't need to remind them of the poor years.
From 1962 to 1969, that's 8 years, Jim. They won 16 games.
Bill.
16 games in 8 years.
Chicken was back in the 30s. Why would you drag fantastic Fitzroy supporters back through that, Fat?
Oh, Jim. It's still 16. My all-time second favourite team, Bill.
Oh, mate, 16 the games Royce. In 8 years.
North didn't have many more wins than that in a similar period of time, too, I reckon, Jim. The 50s and 60s weren't great. Right.
Purple, great catching up with you. Thanks for that.
Cheers, boys.
You're on your Purple.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 52.
Joined by Wayne Carey.
Oh, the King joins us. Welcome to you, Duck.
Yes, g'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, no, we're going beautifully. I'll tell you what, I went, Duck, to New York City in 2009.
Is that when we went?
I don't know whether it was, Fat, but, right. Well, you could remember if it was. But, Duck, we walked in, if it was Bill and I, we walked into a pub. We're staying down in Tribeca, which happens to be near the finance district of New York City.
Yeah.
The day the GFC hit, day it hit. And I remember walking into this pub, Duck, and these people were just staring blankly at these screens watching the markets crap themselves.
Yeah.
That's what Melbourne feels like to me now.
Yeah, I obviously wasn't there in 2009, but I can only imagine it. It's actually eerie, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, driving around Melbourne, when I say driving around, going to do my the shopping bill.
You have to do, yes.
Yes, and I did that by myself and doing all the things, but it's just eerie. And for all those people out there that are feeling a bit flat, obviously reach out to your friends and everyone else because I even find myself sort of feeling a little bit flat. I mean, you've got to correct yourself and get up and get going and say, you know, you just feel like all your liberties have been taken away. But
See, it's interesting, Duck, because we haven't felt that down in Geelong because luckily, restaurants and pubs and coffee shops and things have been open. So it's been okay. But as of Wednesday, 11:59, everything closed down again for us there. So
2008, I need to correct myself. Not 2009. We were there. Fat. Anyway, it's weird. It's eerie. But thank God we got footy happening, Duck. And tell you what I did. I was very lucky. I was able to call the game between Geelong and West Coast Saturday night, Duck, and they are quality. And the difference in the ball use, in the skill level, when you see good sides play our game, it made the stuff we saw earlier, which was North Melbourne and Adelaide, look like an amateur game.
That was witches' hats, wasn't it, Duck? We saw that.
Yeah, we did. And that goes to show you the gap between, you know, on the weekend, the 17th team and the 18th team. Yeah. So, you know, you're right, JB. When you get a good quality game, you really do notice, and it does look like a whole different competition. I agree, but then again, this whole year is a whole different competition for varying different reasons. But I think West Coast clearly looked to me like the team to beat for the premiership. I did say it a few weeks ago that once they got back to Perth, you know, Kennedy and a few others, Nick Nat looks—he just looks incredible. They've at Tim Kelly's now found some form. You know, being home with his family in Perth. So they look really, really hard to beat.
Watching that game, and it was beautifully called, Jim.
Oh, yes.
But that's where the grand final's got to be for
me. I agree.
Mate, just with the atmosphere, the stadium, everything, it just looked like it was a good game, but it looked really good at that stadium.
There is another stadium. There is another stadium, and they're not having any issues with the rest of the world with the virus, and that's a state called South Australia, Bill, Adelaide. And it's got an oval called Adelaide Oval, which is going very well as well. And I think that they're a very good chance of maybe getting the grand final, maybe even over Perth. So I think don't write Adelaide off just yet. I do agree that, you know, obviously Optus Stadium and everything else is a great stadium and state of the art, but it's Adelaide Oval sits right next to it for mine. And it's a football state, not as far away either.
So is Perth.
All right.
Yeah. Well, so I'm on Adelaide Oval.
You are on Adelaide. Of course, I'm only averaged in the late 60s there, but I'm with you, Bill. I do love seeing footy played at Optus Stadium. It is a nuts looking place.
But also the night show they could do there in a late-ish game.
And prime time back into the Eastern Seaboard. I like it. Well, you won't miss with either of them. Hey, Duck, 8 o'clock. You're not allowed out after it. What are you going to do, please? I know you like to stroll the streets.
Hair in your tight shorts and your tight shirt.
I'm actually just sitting here. Jess can hear this, and she just looked at me as if to say, "Oh, where is it?" I'm happy to be home before 8 o'clock.
I've never heard that before in my life.
What it does do when you get told you've got to be home by 8 o'clock. And by the way, I'm only joking. Everyone do the right thing, but when you get told a time, you just you don't ever want to do it.
You certainly don't.
He doesn't like being told, like you, Jim. No, you don't like being told.
Don't like being told what to do. I totally agree.
We all know a bloke who thinks he's funnier after he's had a few.
Now that I'm a joke meister.
This is Billy's Joke on the Rush Hour Sunday Session.
Jim, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Little old lady.
Little old lady who?
I didn't know you could yodel.
That can't be it.
Oh, no.
That can't be it. There got to be another one. That's a warm-up. That's like a warm-up, and you've got to have a joke,
Jim,
for us.
You're supposed to go, little old lady, who?
No, you're not.
Let's do it again.
No, we're not. Get a better joke than that, because that's not a joke.
Well, you can say what you want about bank robbers, Jim, but at least they wear a mask.
Oh, no. Oh, that's just that's two pieces of crap in a row. Yeah, for people that are already doing it tough enough in lockdown.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all I can offer, Jim.
No. That's pungent.
Little old lady who? You're supposed to say pungent. What's that mean? Shut up, mums.
This has been the Rush Hour Sunday Session. And catch up with JB and Billy anytime by downloading the Triple M app.
I feel good.
Triple M.